I want to dedicate this year to the memory of my grandmother, whose yahrzeit is going to be this Sunday. My grandmother, Rachel Bad Yitzchak Halevi, I was never privileged to know her. Obviously, I heard a lot about her throughout the years. And I believe that after hearing everything about her, she would take great pride, and she should. And she should definitely take credit for the fact that she has a grandson who is teaching Torah today in the Holy Land of Israel, where she has been zochet to be buried and returned to after her demise.
Mother's mother.
Gentlemen, here's the situation. You are in a shul. You finished your silent amida, and then you get to Chazaras Hashatz. Chazaras Hashatz continues to be an issue for everyone. To listen, not to play around, not to look at your phone when someone is actually speaking to God. And it's definitely a quandary and a challenge. The challenge I want to deal with today is a specific one. And that is, what happens when you say Chazaras Hashatz and nobody in the room understands a word you're saying? So assuming that everyone is trying to listen, why are they trying to listen and not doing other things? Because they're probably not religious Jews. And therefore they were taught that in synagogue you have to act like a mensch. In other words, when someone is talking to God, you don't sit there and do other things. And they're in this synagogue, and the chazan is chazaning away. And there's 9 people, or to be more precise, 10 people listening. And they don't know what he's saying. So in order to answer this question, I want to ask a very simple one. Is every bracha that he's saying a bracha levatala? I mean, they're trained. They're good monkeys. We train them to say Amen. So they all say Amen. If they want to go even further, Avachor Ruch Shema. But they're saying Amen in Chinese. You know, Chung Ching Chong, Amen. Chung Ching Bom, Amen. They don't know what they're saying Amen to. The guy could have said, may you all drop dead. In Hebrew, Amen. So my question is that a proper Chazaras Hashatz? Do we have a problem on our hands? Or not? Maybe it's okay. Let him chazan away. You know he's saying something Jewish. No, man, he probably is not saying drop dead. Yes?
I guess you ask the very same question when someone makes Kiddush for you. He asks, can I be Yotzi? You don't know what he's at. You don't know what he's saying.
Okay, so we'll get to it. So let's get to it properly. So in order to get to it, let's take a step back and say the obvious. Why do we say Chazaras Hashatz? So the Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah on top of your source sheet, Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Bet 34b, says that according to the majority opinion, Chazaras Hashatz was instituted. Why? Kedei lohotzi et she'ino baki. In other words, if you know how to daven, you should daven yourself. As a matter of fact, the Yerushalmi adds that you have to daven yourself and you should not fulfill your obligation by the mechanism known as shomea keone, which means when you hear is it's if you say it. Like we do at Kiddush on a Friday night. When it comes to davening and 2 other exceptions to the rule, shema and something else, you should say it yourself. But, says the majority opinion in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Kedei lohotzi et she'ino baki, if you don't know how to daven, you listen to the Chazaras Hashatz, you put your feet together, you answer Amen, and it says, if you davened. Very nice. Rabban Gamliel has a different opinion. He says that even if you know how to daven, the Chazaras Hashatz can substitute for your own davening. So we'll go with the majority opinion. Why was Chazaras Hashatz, the Chazan's repetition, quote-unquote, which I like to call the public Amida, that's a different shiur we gave. Why was the public Amida instituted?
People who
couldn't daven. Why couldn't they daven? The Gemara doesn't say they didn't know Hebrew. The Gemara says, Kedei leotzi et she'ino baki.
Right.
Baki means what? There's bekiyut and iyun when you learn Gemara. What's bekiyut?
Understand. Clearly. No.
Understand.
Bekiyut is quick.
No.
Knowing it well enough to not go into
bekiyut means knowledge. Namely, you know a lot. Let me put it in very tangible terms. You are at a time in which they did not write down Torah Sheba'al Peh. Your library consisted of a Tanakh, basically. Torah Sheba'al Peh was oral. Sidurim were not written down. There was no print press. So at this time, what's a baki? A guy who can rattle off davening?
By heart.
By heart! And what's a not a baki? A guy who can't. He understands Hebrew. He just doesn't know the words.
Is that Rabbi Gamliel's position?
No, Rabbi Gamliel's position is even if you know the words by heart, you can fulfill your obligation by virtue of the chazan.
Yeah,
comes along the Chachamim and say, listen, if you know the words by heart, because you say it three times a day, right, better you say it yourself. So why do we do Chazarat HaShatz? For the people that don't know it by heart. Not everyone has a photographic memory. Certain people, you tell them one thing, it goes into one ear, goes out the next, not to any fault of their own. Not everyone's a Rav Ovadia Yosef. And ultimately, that's why there's a Chazarat HaShatz.
Can you explain, Rabbi Gamliel, why would he say that? That even if you're a Bucky, it's okay not to say it?
Yeah, because, okay, I'll just digress for a moment, open the parentheses, to explain the Rabban Gamliel, he'll basically say, why is this different from Kiddush? In Kiddush, people know Kiddush by heart, but if you're staying at someone's house, Friday night, and the Baal HaBayis makes Kiddush, you're Yotze. But what do you mean he can have you in mind? It's even worse. If he already said Kiddush, you said Amen, you didn't think of anything. You just said Amen. You know the words, you know what Mekadesh HaShabbat means, God who sanctifies the Sabbath day. What gives you the head to say Kiddush afterwards? The only way you could say Kiddush afterwards is if the whole time he's saying Kiddush, all you're thinking of is, I'm not Yotze, I'm not Yotze, I'm not Yotze, I don't like this guy, can't stand this guy, I don't like his words, I don't like his pronunciation. That's the only way, in my humble opinion, halachically, you could say Kiddush. Now, I know that Hasidim have this thing that everyone says their own Kiddush. Hard for me to explain it halachically. Hard for me to explain it halachically. But Rabbi Lamiel says, why is this any different than Kriyas HaMegillah? One guy reads, everyone listens. Finished. Why is this different than Kiddush? One guy says it, everyone listens. That's Rabban Gamliel's position. Chachamim say differently. Fine. So Chachamim basically come and tell us, close the parentheses, you say Chazarat HaShatz for those that cannot say it on their own on account of they don't know the words. So let's just put it into our terms in 2016, on the verge of 2017. They don't know how to read Hebrew. Maybe they understand Hebrew. They don't know how to read Hebrew. Fine. So we have a Chazarat HaShatz, I'll answer Amen. So why do we do Chazarat HaShatz today? Baruch Hashem, many people know how to read Hebrew. Let's say you're in a shul where everybody knows how to read and understands Hebrew. So we went through this before. The Rambam, in the famous, famous response, says, Ho'il v'tiknu chachamim, because the chacham made a takana, that they enacted that there be a Chazarat HaShatz, lo'otzi'et mishen obaki, the reason for their takana, the impetus, the motivation was, in order to fulfill the obligation for those that don't have a sitter in their hands, or don't know the davening by heart, lo'tiye Chazarat HaShliach Tzibur, bracha levatala, ve'af al pi, shlo ye bakahal mishen obaki. And because the takana was made, once it's there, it's there. It makes no difference that today we're in a different situation. The situation today is that everybody does have a sitter in their hands. Everyone can daven alone. Once the takana was made, it stands. Now, we're not going to go into in this shir, if a takana is made, but the reason is no longer relevant, can we stop doing the takana? But in this particular case, for whatever reasons, once it's a law, it's a law. The fact that the reason for the law is not as relevant doesn't make a difference. It's already in the law books. And that's what the Abu Draham says, V'chuzer shliach tzibur tatfila b'kol ram, lo tzid mi shelo yipalel. The Chazan says, the whole Shmon Esrei Aden, in order to fulfill the obligation for those that didn't daven yet, v'akol omdim, v'shomin kol bracha o'bracha mipi v'yanu amein, and everyone should be standing, that's already a chumra l'halacha, and saying amein, bein otam shiyatsu yedei tfila, uvein otam shelo yatsu. Everyone has to listen to Chazarat HaShatz, and therefore in every shul, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Kahal Sheit Paralu V'Kulam Bekiim B'Tfilah, if there is a congregation where everyone is Baki in the Tfilah. Again, what is Baki?
They can read.
Forget about understanding.
They can read Hebrew.
They can, what?
Read and
they can read Hebrew, or they know the davening by heart. So, the whole reason for Chazarat HaShatz is no longer relevant, because the Chachamim said it's for a place where they don't know how to read Hebrew, or don't know the words. But here, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins and Simon Kuf Kuf Dalit 124, subdivision 3, Kahal Sheit Paralu V'Kulam Bekiim B'Tfilah, Afal Pikein, even so, Yered Shatz Shliach Tzibor V'Chozer Lihit Palel Kedei L'Kayem Takanat Chachamim. So even though the reason's not relevant, we continue with the takana, and that's the way we run our shuls. The question today is not, why do we continue to say Chazarat HaShatz when everyone can read on their own? I don't have such a big problem with that, because I've been to shuls around the world where people do not know how to read on their own. My problem today is a little different. My problem today is not, can they read on their own, but rather, the following, do they understand the word you're saying? And if they don't understand the word you're saying, maybe it's really a bracha levatala. Just imagine You go up to a good Jew who has, lo aleinu, dementia or Alzheimer's, and he's in a hospital room, and you say to this good Jew, I want to do you a favor. I want to light Hanukkah candles on your behalf. And he can barely know where he is, unfortunately. It's one of the worst sicknesses out there. And you make a bracha, Baruch atah Hashem b'shem uvim malchus lahadlik ner shel Chanukah, and you light the menorah on his behalf. This guy doesn't know what's flying. This guy doesn't know where he is. He doesn't know what a Hanukkah menorah is. All he sees is nice candles. Happy birthday to you. He doesn't know what's happening. Wouldn't you call that a bracha levatala?
Meaning the bracha wasn't for you.
It wasn't for you. You lit it on. You're doing a favor for him. I'm not talking about a guy who says, listen, I didn't hear shofar today. Can you say shofar? That's an open gemara. Of course you could. I can't make kiddush. I can't make kiddush because I don't know Hebrew. Can you make kiddush for me? I know what kiddush is. I know what it's all about. I just don't know how to read Hebrew. I don't have my transliterated sitter with me. Can you make kiddush for me? You absolutely can. Absolutely. This guy doesn't know what's flying. So you come into shul. You have 9 people in the room. They don't know what's flying. Can you say Chazar at the shots? Look at the next source, Shulchan Aruch. Same Simon, 1 second. Kuf Kuf Dalet, Kuf Kuf Dalet, 124. Lachar Shesimu Atzibur Tfilatan. After everyone finishes davening, what's called the Shtila Shmoneh Esrei, the silent Shmoneh Esrei. Yachzor Shliach Tzibur Tfilah. We do the Chazan's repetition, or I like to call the public Amidah. If there's someone there that's not a daven, so with this Shulchan Aruch, I'm okay. Hey, I know how to daven, so I don't really care what he says. I'm okay with the Shulchan Aruch. I davened already. Why is he doing Chazarat HaShatz? We explained already. But I know how to daven. Comes the Mishnah Berurah and says the following. We got a problem. What did the Shulchan Aruch say? Look at the bolded words. Yechaven lema shehu omer. He has to have kavana for what he says. Ve'yotzebo, and he fulfills his obligation. So what's the most typical case where we're going to use this mechanism? You have 10 people in the room, or 9. They don't know how to daven. They don't know Hebrew. You want to fulfill the obligation on their behalf. What do they have to do? Yechaven lema shehu omer. How do you translate those words into English?
You should understand what he's saying.
Well, comes the Mishnah Berurah in the name of the Magen Avraham, just in case you had any qualms about the way Bruce just articulated it. V'tzarich shiyavin b'loshan HaKodesh. He has to understand Hebrew. The Imlo came, because if he doesn't understand Hebrew, lo mahani af sheshomea mishatz kol teva. Doesn't help that he hears every single word from the Shliach Tzibur. And that's exactly what I presented at the beginning of the shir. What did I say? The guy saying, ching, chong, chung, chong, ching, drop dead, may you all go and evaporate. Amen! Says the Mishnah Berurah. Doesn't work! Doesn't work! Now let me just buttress what I said to sharpen it. If you have such a situation, says the Shulchan Aruch, in the same simon in Seif Dalit, ukeshiach Tzibur chozer atfila, kahal yesh lahem lishtok, everyone should shut up. I hate to say it, but that's what lishtok means. Ve'lechavein lebrachot shemevarecha chazan. You should have kavana for what the chazan's saying. What's kavana mean? You got to know what he's saying. Not every word, but the general idea. If he's saying, tekabe shofar gadol lecheiruteinu v'sad neis lekabetzke yuteinu, such beautiful words. Okay, high Hebrew. He's talking about the times of Mashiach. Okay, I got it. That's okay. But if he says Tekabe Shofar Gadol Cheiruteinu, and you think in your mind, oh, he's talking about Rosh Hashanah, I heard the word shofar. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Ve'im ein tisha mechuvanim lebirchotav, if there is a 9 that have kavana, again, general kavana for what he's saying, Karov liot birchotav lebatala. We have a bracha lebatala on our hands. What's a bracha lebatala in English? A blessing in vain. So the problem we have today is a typical shul. They don't know modern Hebrew. They don't know biblical Hebrew. The chazan's rattling away. You have 9 people in the room. No one understands a word he's saying from beginning to end. All you have to do is get a chazan that, even if they know Hebrew, he davens Ashkenazis, and they have learned Hebrew Sfaradit, or vice versa. And then if you get a Galiziana, you're out of there. Burichatu, oh my gosh, they don't know what he's saying. And then, ultimately, they're sitting there, says the Shulchan Aruch. First of all, it doesn't help. First of all, it doesn't help them because they don't understand the word. Second of all, it's a bracha levatala. We got a big problem. Bruce, you had a comment earlier. Yes.
Just on that, if someone has kavanah that this person is praying to God, is that sort of enough kavanah? He knows he's not talking about baseball.
Could very well be.
That's one point. The other point is, when we use that little short trick form that we see at Minchat time,
yeah.
Is that going against this tikkun? Are they somehow
yes.
using a trick in their...
Yes, it's not going against the tikkun. It's basically doing the tikkun in a shortened version. When you have a situation where you're getting very close to the end of time of Mincha, or the end of the time of Shacharis, so you have to sit down on a plane, whatever it is, we can use the mechanism known in Yiddish as a Hecha Kedusha, or in Hebrew a Tefillah Ketzara, where everyone starts together and then ends on their own. So you are fulfilling the Takana, albeit partially, and the reason for that is that indeed the reason for the Takana doesn't make sense anymore if everyone knows how to daven. That's why we use it in those situations.
We use that at every meeting if a group of guys are listening. We're always...
Okay,
we're always
I'll digress for a moment. There was a suggestion by the Rambam in a famous responsum, not in Mishnah Torah, in the responsum, that he says that because everyone today talks during Chazarat Hashatz, even in his time there was ADHD, therefore, we should just forget about it. We should always do a Hecha Kedusha. And there are Sephardic shuls that do that, not at Shacharis on Shabbos, by Musaf. Why by Musaf? Because by Shacharis, people are still there. But after an hour and a half of davening in a Sephardic shul, it could be even 2 hours, by Musaf, they're out of there. I mean, they're not there, so you got to finish up. So that's what they do. However, if you just learn simple Shulchan Aruch Ramah, Mishnah Berurah, and Nosei Kelim, what we call the Derech HaMelech, the normal way to go, is that every time you daven a silent Shmoneh Esrei, with the exception of Ma'ariv, you do a Chazarat HaShatz, except for in those extreme situations. But yes, there was a certain idea out there that was not so accepted, but partially accepted, that because Chazarat HaShatz is increasingly becoming a problem, people are not listening, this is what's happening.
Right.
Today, in Israel, I wouldn't say the problem is Lechavein, people know what the Chazan is saying, they just said it themselves. It's Lishtok is the problem. They don't know what they're saying Amen to. So because of that, there was this mechanism that was suggested. In general, we don't use it. Now, back to our story. We're in a shul, 9 people think they're hearing Chinese, and they are saying Amen, because that's what they were trained to do, but they don't know what he's saying. So how do we solve the problem? A rabbi wrote this to me, and I had to solve the problem for him. So how do we solve this problem? So I can tell you now, there's 2 ways to solve the problem. We have 2 problems here in our hands. Number one is, the people are answering Amen, and they don't know what they're answering Amen to. So the first problem is the congregation. And what's the second problem? The Bracha Levatala being said by the Chazan. So comes along Mishnah Berurah, in the name of the Magen Avraham, who goes all the way back to the Maharil, and suggests the following. Listen to his suggestion. Today in our shuls we say Chazarat Hashatz even if 9 people are talking. So how do we do that? We just explained it's a problem. Says the Chafetz Chaim, says Rav Yisrael Meir in Radin, as he wrote the Mishnah Berurah, I have a suggestion. What could you do in order for you, Mr. Chazan, not to have a bracha levatala? Let's assume for a moment, that you are a day out of V'tein Talumot Alevracha. In Chutz Laretz, they just started saying it recently. And you forgot, but you're not sure if you forgot. You have a suffix. So we have certain ways to deal with it. What is one of the ways we can deal with it? We can do what's called a Tfilat Nedava. What's a Tfilat Nedava?
A voluntary davening.
Just like there can be a voluntary korban, there can be a voluntary davening. You have to change something in the davening, whatnot. We don't encourage it today. But says the Mishnah Berurah, I got an acute problem on my hand. We're Chazarat Hashatzing all the time. No one understand. In his time, no one was listening. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Tov Litnahek Mosh Katab B'Sefer Shulchan Shlomo, who I don't know who it is, Shiatnei Hashatz B'no Levein Atzmo, the Shatz should make a little deal with Gart. Shiim Lo Yanu Tisha Amen Acharav, if 9 people won't answer Amen, because one's playing with their cell phone, the other one's learning Shtai Mikra Echad Targum, the third is on the phone, the fourth is reading the newspaper, and I'll go on and on, but you've seen this at your morning minions, says the Mishnah Berurah, the Shatz, the Chazarat Hashatz, I just have to take care of Mr. Chazan, Bracha Levatala, he should make a little deal with God. And as Tevye the milkman said, he should say, Dear God, if I should be saying Chazarat Hashatz, I'm saying it. And if not, If nine people won't answer my amen,
let it count as a voluntary.
Shia tefillah b'tarat nedava. That's solution number one. So if you go to a shul, and you got nine people that don't understand what davening is, they know they should be there. And they know they have to answer amen, but there's no difference between them and trained monkeys. They think it's Chinese. The chazan can say what he wants, where he wants. They don't know the difference. Says the Mishnah Berurah, I got a simple solution for you. Tell the chazan right before he starts, Shiyim ein tisha shiyanu acharai amen, yet filati tfilat nedava. And actually, it follows the rules of a voluntary davening, because one of the rules is you have to change something. What change in Chazarat Hashatz? There's a Kedusha! So, we're okay.
But why do you say now, isn't six supposedly?
No, not when it comes to Chazarat Hashatz. Six is something else. No. That is, if you want to daven in a minyan, you need to have at least the majority obligated to daven, then four can add on. No, it has to be nine listening. That's Chazarat Hashatz. Turn the page. I don't like that solution. Why? I don't like that solution for a very simple reason. That solution only takes care of the chazan. But the congregation continues to be ignoramuses to the 50th power about what?
The kavanah.
About what they do every day. Imagine if every single day, twice to three times a day, you are davening and you don't know what you're saying, where you are, what it's about. So you're taking care of the bracha levatala problem. But what about the nine others? If you're leading a community and you get this question, and I got this question from a rabbi, I said, very nice, you took care of the chazan. What about the nine others? You're the chazan. You don't have a bracha levatala. You're taken care of. You can go home. You can sleep at night. You don't need the oxygen mask. You're all right. You won't get a heart attack. But what about the nine others? What are we supposed to do with the nine others? And therefore, I believe the solution I just suggested only takes care of the chazan, but doesn't take care of the nine others. And therefore, I would like to suggest that if this is the situation, it is an absolute obligation upon the rabbi of that community to give a little pamphlet out that everyone can read, short, sweet, concise, less than a page. We're about to say the public Amidah, which has the following themes in it, and you put the key themes, and when you hear the chazan say it, say amen, and people know what they're saying amen to. And that's called education, and it's not education that will take a year. It's education that can take 10 minutes. But people should know what they are about to say. And I'm going to sharpen what I say, especially if they didn't daven a silent Amidah, because they can't read Hebrew. So give them a little rundown. We're about to say the public Amidah. Absolutely, there should be a translation with the sitter and whatnot. Now again, the translation with the sitter is a good solution. The problem is it's long. You have to give a little sheet that gives the basic themes of Chazarat Hashatz. Now what am I basing it on? Even if you don't like that idea, if you look on page 2, you'll see that if two people are eating together, they don't have to make a mezuman. However, says the Shulchan Aruch, Echad yodea v'asheni no yodea, if you have a situation where one guy knows how to bench and the other guy doesn't know how to bench, so one guy should bench, the other guy should listen and answer amen. Again, shomei ka'oneh, as long as he understands Hebrew. He has to have kavanah for everything he says. The Ramah doesn't help us. If he doesn't understand, doesn't help. Comes along the Mishnah Berurah in the name of many, many Rishonim and says, wait. The Yesh Poskim, there are certain Poskim, Shesvurin, that think, Shebeloshon HaKodesh, Yatzei Adam Yidei Chovato B'Shmiya, Afo Pi Sheino Mevin HaLashon. If you daven in English, they have to understand English. So davening in English in a Spanish-speaking country doesn't work. But if you daven in Hebrew, even if you don't understand, says the Mishnah Berurah, it will be okay. And then he says something, and I want all the women listening not to take any offense. But you have to remember the Chafetz Chaim is living in a certain time, and he writes, "V'chen min haganashim." This is the holy minhag of our women. Yotzot yidei chuma b'shmiya me'amivarech, alfa pish, eno mivinot klal. They listen to the Chazarat Hashatz, or they listen to a Kiddush, and says the Mishnah Berurah, "V'afilu b'kiddush shehu d'oraita, l'chul mi'alma, l'hanashim." Women are obligated in Kiddush. They don't understand the word you're saying. "Afilu hachi yotzot b'shmiya." So says the Mishnah Berurah that indeed, yes, you should daven in a language they understand, but there are poskim that say there's one exception, if you daven in Hebrew. And I would like to suggest that, yes, the rabbi should give a pamphlet out with the basic themes of Chazarat HaShatz in order to abate these two problems. The Bracha Vavatala problem, which is a huge problem, and the fact that no one understands what's going on. But even if you have a guy coming into shul, as long as he's davening in Hebrew, we're okay. So why would you go ahead and say, well, Rabbi, I have a better solution for you? If they don't understand what he's saying, and you're in an English-speaking country, let's say, why not daven in English? You allowed to daven in English?
Yes.
Yes! You allowed to say Kriyat Shema in English?
Yes.
There's a Gemara in Sota that says there's certain things you have to say in Hebrew. For example, Birkas Kohanim, Duchening has to be said in Hebrew. Davening and Kriyat Shema are not on the list. And therefore, the next Surah Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Siman Samech Bet, Yecholi Krota Bechol Hashem, you can say Kriyat Shema in any language you want. V'yizahem v'divrei shibush. Make sure you have a good translation.
Maybe it's better.
So maybe that's a good solution. So solution number one was make sure the chazan says, I'm doing a tefillah nedava because no one understands what's going on. I didn't like that solution because it doesn't take care of the congregation. So I suggested you should have a pamphlet with the words on it. That's solution number two. Solution number three is, we can be somech on the Mishnah Berurah that says, as many poskim that say when you're in Hebrew, you're scot-free. They don't understand the word that's happening, but if it's Hebrew, you're all right. So you'd say to me, wait, so let him daven in English. Everyone will understand. Everybody will listen. They will answer Amen. It's absolutely 100% mutter, as we just saw. Why not daven in English? And here I'd like to end with the following. Why not daven in English? Says the Mishnah Berurah, V'choza mitzad adin, achlachically, you're 100% correct. You can daven in English. If they understand English, obviously. Aval ha-mitzvah min ha-muvchar davka b'loshan ha-kodesh. And he goes on to say why. He says, first of all, they don't translate properly. Second of all, after they don't translate properly, they don't know exactly the words of the Holy Torah, which are the words that were written in Lashon HaKodesh. For example, he says, Shiyudvarei divrei Torah mechudadim beficha. In other words, when someone says to you, say Shema, you'd be able to say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and now, hear, O Israel, God is our God, God is one. Now, why is the Mishnah Berurah going crazy about this, saying, yes, you could daven in English, but we discourage it. And he's not the only one, Baruch HaShulchan, many others discouraged it. I would like to suggest for the following reason. We're living in a global village today. We're no longer living in a shtetl or in a ghetto. Had we been living in a ghetto, our whole life would be surrounding around that shtetl. That means that your grandparents and great-grandparents are buried at that cemetery, and you're probably going to be buried there one day after 120 years. Today we're in a global village. People travel all the time. We want them to feel at home in every Orthodox shul around the world. So what would happen if in Efrat we davened in Hebrew, and in America they davened in English, and in Mexico they davened in Spanish, and in Italy they davened in Italian? If you would make a trip to Italy, and you would want to find a shul to daven in, you wouldn't know what's going on. More than that, you wouldn't fulfill your obligation because you don't understand the word they're saying. And therefore, in order to ensure that a Jew from Italy will feel at home at least in shul when he visits America, I don't know about the street, I don't know about the hot dog stand, but in shul he'll feel at home, we all daven in Hebrew. We all daven in the same sitter. And that creates a certain unity that allows you to travel around the world and ultimately be able to function in every shul. So even though there's such a simple solution here on the table, daven in English, finished. My advice is that you should not run a shul that way. For people privately, absolutely. Maybe for the silent Shmoneh Esrei, I would even encourage it. But for the public Amida, I'm willing to go out of my way and say, okay, let's find solutions for all the problems we brought up, because we want people to feel at home here in Efrat, over in America, as well as in Italy, as well as in Mexico. That at least when they come into the synagogue, the rabbi's speech they won't understand, the announcements they won't understand, the rechilus, the lashon hara at the kiddush, they also won't understand. I mean, not such a terrible thing, but davening they'll feel at home with. And therefore, I would discourage davening in English on a public level. Privately, private Shmoneh Esrei, Jews that are now coming back to their roots, or converts that want to convert, absolutely. But when it comes to the public Amida, we have to create synagogues and congregations that are like other synagogues and congregations when it comes to the actual crux of what makes up a congregation, and that is the davening. So therefore, the three solutions we suggested is A, let the chazan say it's a tefillas nedava. B, we suggested that they should have a little sheet saying what Chazarat HaShatz is about so people understand, and obviously English, Hebrew, sitters and whatnot. And C, we can be somech on the Mishnah Berurah who quotes many Rishonim that with regard to Hebrew, you don't have to understand. And this work, Bruce said earlier, what do you mean you don't have to understand? You have to know that he's davening to God. That's good enough. You have to know that he's davening to God and asking for various things. Again, I would go a step further and say, well, let's see what he's asking for and put it down on a sheet. Now, why not daven in English? We just gave the whole argument. Why not? Yeah.
Does this imply that Jewish education should heavily focus on teaching and understanding Hebrew?
Jewish education should definitely focus on reading Hebrew, first of all. Second of all, definitely understanding is an additional one. But we have little time in many schools, not enough time for everything, and therefore I think we have to do everything possible to first and foremost ensure that everyone's living a Jewish halachic lifestyle. And Hebrew has to take a step back, and we found solutions for that this morning. Once they do that, then yes, we should encourage them to read Hebrew. And once they do that, understanding is terrific. I mean, davening would be so much nicer if you understand. But again, I want to say that you can't put Hebrew on the top of the pedestal at the expense of how do you keep Shabbos, how do you keep kashrus.